Welcome to the D
and A of Home Interiors. The DNA of Home Interiors is all about empowering you to make confident home interior and furniture decisions. I'm Audrey, founder of Audrey Whelan Interior Design. I've worked as an interior designer for almost 20 years, running my own business for 10 years of this. Recently, I have refocused my business to help people who are undertaking their own refurbishment or redecoration project. I do this through individual consultations in people's homes and also through running interior design workshops around London.
I'm Deirdre, the co-founder and CEO of Cooldea, an online search and comparison website which enables people to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire market on one website. Cooldea is the home for furniture discovery. Check it out to search over 80 retailers simply today. Audrey and I decided to set up the podcast after seeing the overwhelming feeling that many people encounter when undertaking their own project. The sheer amount of choice available often leads to decision paralysis. We're here to help you make confident decisions. So Audrey, today we're talking about the bathroom. And I'm going to start with my experience growing up in our bathroom. It's probably everything in our house was what not to do in terms of today's design. But we had carpet on the floor, which was interesting.
Wow.
We had our pink ceramic bath, sink and toilet.
Yeah.
The toilet was actually in a separate room off the bathroom, which coincidentally, if you flushed it while somebody was in the shower, they would get scalded because it would take away all of the cold water from the shower. But how has the bathroom evolved and how do people think about it today?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Good question. Yeah. Well, I too remember the carpets and the sort of suite of bathroom furniture, if you like, where everything was kind of in a colour and all sort of matching and all bought together. And I think what's really changed in bathroom design over the years since then is that people are no longer necessarily feeling they've got to purchase a suite of matching items. So we've started to see a lot more materials come into the bathroom, not just in terms of maybe flooring and wall tiling, but also in terms of the fixtures and fittings. So for example, concrete basins would be a big thing at the moment where people would then incorporate that in a room with perhaps a ceramic toilet and maybe a steel bath. So you can have different materials together. But just thinking back kind of over the years and how we've evolved to this point now, it makes me think about 15 years ago, I was working for quite a big bathroom brand in the UK, and we were actually designing the showrooms and we were really looking at a new concept of how bathrooms were being used and how they were being sold and how they're being perceived. And a huge amount of this thought process was around the idea of well-being and the bathroom being a real sanctuary in the home. So giving it a more elevated status, I suppose, to be a room in its own right and not just a purely functional place. And so as well as this being like a much improved environment in terms of materials and what you would actually put in the room, we're also thinking about things like jacuzzi baths and shower enclosures with different types of jet fittings and so on. So I think this has really led people into a new direction with, you know, how they can furnish their bathrooms.
So it's really gone towards the five-star hotel bathroom experience, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's kind of where, you know, I suppose people were being inspired at the time by being able to look at these kind of luxury bathrooms. And at the time, I remember like Aquavision TV came in where you could have a television sort of set into the tiles in the bathroom. We were also putting things like small champagne fridges into bathrooms. So it was really sort of aspirational and I suppose, you know, quite high end in that sense. But I think what's happened since then is that we've got a lot more brands out there that are now looking at the realities of, you know, not everybody has maybe a huge space for a bathroom, but how do we now take some of these really inspirational elements of a luxury bathroom and bring them into a smaller space? And I think a really key element to that is the space planning aspect. So we've got to make use of, say, a small footprint. How do you still get all your essential items in, you know, in the most effective way?
That's interesting. I've never actually heard of a champagne fridge in the bathroom, maybe one day. So I suppose when you think about the space, because it's always stepping back to basics when we begin, you know, the typical items that you're going to have is your bath, your shower, your sink and your toilet.
Yeah.
So how do people think about, you also have the optionality to combine the shower into the bath. If you have the space, should you have them as two separate items? Or is there a place that actually put the both of them together is more functional?
Yeah, I think when people have space, they often quite like to have them separate, because then you can have sort of the best possible shower separate to the best possible bath. And, you know, like with a lot of these things, when you start to try and get the best out of both functions, you know, you may compromise a little on each. So, for example, at the moment, there's quite a lot of freestanding baths around. Freestanding baths used to be seen more so in traditional bathrooms. So like a cast iron bath, which might have ornate, you know, claw feet. Now we're seeing a lot of more contemporary baths, particularly in like composite materials. So getting away from the steel or the acrylic baths and really fluid shapes. So that can be so dramatic in a bathroom, but then that's not so practical to have a shower in it, because it's not going to sit right up to your wall, and therefore it's not going to have the sort of waterproof qualities of, you know, having tiles right up to the edge of your bath. So in that case, ideally you would have a separate shower enclosure then in the room. So it's really down to, you know, space-wise, you know, what you can do, what you can fit in.
And of course, the plumbing. If you're going to have a freestanding bath, you actually need to have the pipes for the water coming up through the floor. So that's a consideration going back to the build stage.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So whether you bring your pipeworks, you know, through the floor and up. I mean, just the other day, actually, I was researching some of these floor-standing taps, and it's incredible at the moment just how many options there are out there. And in particular now, because with taps, you know, there was a time where we would have thought more about just taps being chrome, you know, sort of, so like a shiny silver finish. Maybe you'd have a matte silver option, but now we're seeing taps in brass and copper, a lot of black taps out there at the moment. So it really gives you extra options when you're thinking about something quite dramatic like the freestanding taps, because you can do something quite creative in the room. But yeah, definitely the point you make about needing to think about that early on in the planning stage, because it is a plumbing.
And I'm keen to get your opinion on the taps. Is copper and brass, is that just a trend? And in 5 years' time, if I have those sort of taps, will somebody know that, oh God, Deirdre designed this bathroom in 2019 and it's already out of date? How do you think people should incorporate trends that are happening versus that long life that you're going to have products in the bathroom?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, not to be just sort of hung up on, oh, copper taps, is that just a thing for now or not? But really stepping back and looking at the overall design of the bathroom. So what else are you going to bring in? Are you bringing in really patterned tiles on the floor, and the colourway in the tiles that you're choosing works really well with the copper taps, for example? I think in that case, it's something that will stand the test of time, because you won't walk into that room and think, oh, look, there's copper taps everywhere, and that's a thing that I remember from 5 years ago. Instead, what you're trying to achieve is you walk into that room, you know, in 5 or 10 years, and you just think, wow, this is a room that works really well, and it's the combination of everything together that does that.
So it won't be like my pink bath and toilet and sink that was clearly from the 1980s.
Yeah, really. Although you'd be surprised now, there are more coloured fixtures coming back. Yeah, yeah. So I've seen a few recently. There was in one of the showrooms I was in, there was actually an ice cream themed bathroom. So it had a pink bath and a basin, and then there was pictures of ice cream artwork on the wall. And I thought, oh, you know, this looks really great. But it was a different type of pink. I remember the pink you were talking about, and it was that really, really dusky sort
yes.
of, dull pink. This was a more vibrant one, like slightly more coral in colour. So really fun and really vibrant. But also, I think with what's happening now and what I said earlier about mixing in the different materials, you could now have that pink bath, but maybe you would have that concrete basin with the pink bath. So you would have a complete contrast in the room of the the two items. So you wouldn't have that same feeling that you had when you walked into the all pink bathroom, that everything's sort of highly coordinated and kind of matching. So I think that's where you can create quite a bit of interest at the moment with all the options out there.
When you said ice cream, I had visions of the pink bath, but a blue sink and a green toilet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was sort of thinking, oh gosh, I'm not sure that would be for me. But I suppose ultimately, whether something is trendy or not, it's about what it means to you and that you enjoy the space and you like it. And if you enjoy it today, even if trends move on, you'll still enjoy that in 5 or 10 years' time. So it's about making sure that I suppose you have the conviction in your choice and that you're not choosing it just because it's a trend, but because it's something that you really love.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, on that very subject, what I've often done with clients over the years is they might go to a showroom and see something that they genuinely think is really fun, they really love. So for example, that ice cream bathroom set, and they'd say, oh, you know, this pink is amazing, but I just don't think I could bring myself to spend all this money on this pink bath, that I don't trust that I will still love it enough in a few years' time. And I'll say, well, let's unpick this a bit. Let's look at what it is you love. Is it really the colour? If it's the colour, then let's find a paint colour for that wall that we don't need to tile, or maybe could we introduce a few tiles in that colour? And we will go for, let's say, a slightly more safer option if they feel that's the right solution for the bath, so that they don't have that concern longer term. But we still get a feel for what it is, you know, that they loved when they saw that display into the room.
So I suppose there's a lot of various options out there that are quite trendy. You talked about the concrete, the copper tubs, the pink tubs. And I think there's a place in those, in certain rooms and in certain houses. But when we wind it back, the majority of people are still pretty much choosing your white basics and then designing around that.
Yeah.
So I suppose, assuming that you have your white basics, how do you look about designing around that? And I'm thinking, you know, in terms of the flooring, should it be wooden floors or should it be tiled? And how does that play into the practicalities as well? Because of course, wood is not meant to get wet typically versus the tiles. And should you tile the whole bathroom as you typically see in the 5-star hotel? Or can you just paint the walls? And what type of paint then do you need to use? Because I was about to go out in my apartment and buy an ordinary paint until the guy in the shop said, what room is it for? And he was like, oh, you need a different paint for the bathroom because it's going to have that moisture in, which I didn't realise. So I suppose, how do you think about maybe the floor up and then the tiles and the walls?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what you were saying about, say, the question over wood, often people would say, I love the feel of wood and I don't want the bathroom to be really clinical. And what's brilliant at the moment is, you know, you can actually have a tiled floor that looks like wood. So these tiles come in planks, so you get that effect of the wood without having the inconvenience of, you know, the maintenance where, I would never really advise somebody to have a proper wood floor in a bathroom because it is going to get wet and wood isn't going to take that very well over time. So the tiled porcelain tiles in plank form, that's a brilliant solution to get that kind of look and the texture in, particularly now with the option of underfloor heating as well. It means that obviously tiles are colder underfoot than wood, but then with underfloor heating, you can solve that problem. And then the other solution for bathrooms, unless it's a wet room where you definitely need tiles, but otherwise you could consider like what we call in the industry LVTs or luxury vinyl tiles. And they also come in plank form, but instead of being porcelain tiles, they are vinyl, and you can have a wood effect or a stone effect floor. So that can be quite a cost effective way to do that, and it's also a bit warmer underfoot. And then looking at the bigger picture of the room then, in terms of all your materials that you're bringing in and the fact that you may want to tile certain areas or you may want to tile the whole room, I'd say the starting point for that decision is really around the practicality, so the moisture levels in the room. And if you have a shower enclosure, obviously you're going to want to tile it to keep it waterproof. But if you have maybe a wall in your bathroom that isn't going to get wet, then it's a great opportunity to paint that wall, because I think that variation of surfaces and finishes in the room allows you to bring in, colour in different ways and update it over time.
And is there rules around tiles? If I've got a big space, should I be using big tiles? Should I be using small tiles? Is there any do's and do-nots in terms of that?
Well, I think, you know, there was quite a few years where people would often find, you know, in a property you'd have a bathroom with large format floor tiles and large format wall tiles. Often they'd be in the same material, typically something that looked a bit like limestone, like a pale kind of beigey colour. And, you know, I've come across so many people over the years that have inherited these bathrooms, you know, when they've bought a property and they say, oh gosh, it feels so clinical, so bland. And because the whole thing is tiled, it's not like they can pull up a bit of paint colour on one wall or do anything kind of easily to change that. So I think, you know, the move away from that all, you know, fully tiled in all one colour is good, in my opinion. Also, I think what it does is when you've got those large format tiles, it can actually make the bathroom feel a bit smaller, I think. So when you've got different sizes of tiles on the floor compared to the walls, I think it adds more interest in the room, and therefore it can help the room probably feel a little bit more spacious and just a little bit more eclectic in style as well. But the downside, obviously, of using smaller tiles is that you get more grout lines, and that's something that a lot of people are concerned about when I speak to them, because of, you know, needing to keep that grout clean over time. And so my next point to make on the grout when that comes up is, well, you don't have to stick to white grout. You could do grey grout or coloured grout, and then that improves the lifespan then of that compared to just using white. So a few different considerations there.
And of course, you can regrout. Doesn't mean replacing all the tiles. It's actually easy enough to do. And there's some great cleaning products out there. So I know I cleaned mine, and I was amazed at the result that came up, where I thought, oh, I'd never be able to fix that.
There's also a spray, actually, that you can put on at the time that you tile, which makes the grout more moisture resistant. So that does prolong the lifespan of it as well, in terms of, you know, if it's a bright white in particular, it'll keep it like that for longer.
And going back to practicalities of how we use the bathroom. So we've got your shower done in the morning, and you're moving to maybe putting on your makeup or trying to use some of the mirrors. I suppose you want to have some proper lighting where you can see, that you don't end up looking like an Oompa Loompa for the day with your makeup overdone. And also, I've seen a great thing in one mirror that in a hotel that I stayed in, where they actually had a heater on it. So instead of wiping the glass and leaving the smear marks, they actually had a circular piece of it which didn't steam up, which one day I would love to incorporate into my home somehow.
That's a really useful thing to have, I think. And you certainly... in terms of lighting, I think it's important to consider task lighting in the bathroom. So you want, obviously, probably some kind of ceiling lighting, but then around any mirror that you have, to have some more focused light is good. Also, I quite like in bathrooms to think about mood lighting as well. So it might be that you've got a cabinet, but you can actually recess some LED lighting underneath. So if, you know, back to that idea of the bathroom being a bit of a sanctuary as well, if it is that you want to relax in the bathroom, have a bath, that you're not relying on sort of a harsh ceiling light or a harsh, you know, light over your mirror, that you've also got something a bit more gentle in the room. And one thing with lighting in bathrooms, obviously, is that we have to consider it being suitable for bathroom use. So there's different ratings of lighting that can tell you then whether or not it's suitable.
So it's a bit like the paint. You need to make sure that it's the spec for the bathroom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then I suppose lastly, you've got all of those bits, what I assume is more the immovable objects in the bathroom. But of course, we can really decorate the bathroom. A lot of people don't think about that.
Yeah.
And it can be from plants to having the cabinets where you can display your towels. Although I've always felt I don't want to really display towels in the bathroom because they'll collect the moisture in the air. So I'd rather have them in the hot press.
Yeah.
But what other things can you do?
Well, I would say on the subject of towels, I quite often say to people, although you might want to store your towels there, you'll generally have a couple of towels in the bathroom, at least, you know, that are the ones that you use, and think about the colour you can bring in through those, or sometimes the pattern if everything else is quite plain. That can be a good thing to do. And yeah, plants is good. And also anything else that you need to use in the bathroom. So for example, maybe it's a liquid soap dispenser or toilet roll holder, things like that. It's another way of bringing in different finishes and, you know, little pops of colour as well. So it could be quite good to think of that.
And what do you recommend for storage? Because of course, typically we have more and more cosmetics trying to starve off the effects of ageing.
Yeah.
Where should we store them? Because typically you want them out of sight.
Yeah, that's it. I think storage is so important, and quite often it's an area that gets a little bit forgotten about in a bathroom, which is a shame then, because you do have lots of things kind of lying around maybe that, you know, would be better behind doors. So cabinets are great. Also, I really love the idea of building in cisterns where possible, so behind toilets, just to get everything a bit more streamlined. And in that case, often there's the option then to continue maybe that built-in boxing a little bit further along the room, and you can incorporate maybe a cupboard there so you can keep extra things. And then certainly cabinets over sinks. I think if you're going to have a mirror, why not have it on a cabinet? It doesn't need to be very deep, but just deep enough to line up those cosmetics and bottles and things and be able to put things away, but just have them at arm's reach then, you know, when you need them.
I actually have one of those in my bathroom, and it's a double-sided mirror. So when you open the door, you've got the second side.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
And it means
idea.
That you can sort of use it as your up-close magnifying glass, and you'd never know that was there.
Yeah.
So that's quite a good one. Yeah. And I suppose the last thing that I've noticed, and it's because they did it at my previous work, they removed the counter space. So they had a really fancy sink, but it meant that I had no place to leave down my makeup brush when I was actually doing my makeup. So it's all good and well having a cabinet. But if you only have the sink, I feel like you need a shelf.
Yes, yeah, or a surface. I mean,
a surface,
there's more and more basins now that are actually designed to sit on top of a surface. So even the idea of being able to bring in a piece of furniture or have a worktop and the basin sits on top just gives you that extra space around it. But I do agree that's really, really important, yeah.
And then one last thing that I'd like to ask you about is that the bathroom can be seen as, you know, that traditional space. So if you do want to go crazy and put in, you know, the concrete sink, or I've seen some great ceramic sinks and they're so beautiful, but I sort of feel like they look out of space. What I've noticed is that people are getting a little bit more adventurous, maybe to incorporate that in a downstairs loo where, you know, you can have some funky wallpaper. It doesn't have the moisture of the shower.
Yeah.
Is that the place that we can really have the confidence to maybe go a little bit out there in the bathroom?
Yeah, I think the downstairs loo is a brilliant place to just be quite experimental. You know, it's typically not somewhere that people spend a huge amount of time. So you can afford to have a kind of a bit bolder, a bit louder and a bit fun as well. And it's often, you know, it's near your front door. It's just one of those places that you dip in and out of, you know, each time you go in and out.
So it can be the reflection of the personality and maybe your quirkiness to the guests who will actually typically use that room rather than the bathroom that might be upstairs.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Good stuff. So I've learned lots about bathrooms today, and one takeaway that I'm going to definitely investigate is the wooden floor tiles. Practical, yet bringing in warmth and getting rid of the clinical look. And I'm also super keen to explore going a little bit crazy in the downstairs bathroom. So thank you, Audrey, for all that advice.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, glad you enjoyed it. It was great chatting about it all. So thank you all for joining us on the DNA of Home Interiors today for our discussion on bathroom interiors. And don't forget to follow your own passion when it comes to achieving your very own bathroom style.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please like and share with your friends and family who are working on their own home interiors project. Be sure to follow us on our Instagram, Facebook and YouTube channels at the DNA of Home Interiors.
If you are looking for inspiration and help in designing your home project, check out Audrey Whelan's Masterclasses and sign up for one today. And Audrey, what's that address again?
It's audreywhelan.com/events.
And it also makes a great gift. And don't forget to check out cooldia.com to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire retail market on one website. We hope you can join us next time.